Good morning, church. It's lovely to be here, and I hope that you are all really well. Last week, Wes spoke about Amazing Grace, well-loved hymn of our church. And this week, we're going to look at another well-loved song of the church, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. The words of this song are so incredible, and I wonder whether we think about those words in the way that we should. Let's also think about a different component of this song, which is prayer. Prayer is a massive component of many, many songs. But today we're just going to look at What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Every now and then, we need to pause, take a step back, and recognize that we get to be part of something incredibly special. As you are aware, we are living in a strange time. And along with that time comes other burdens. Perhaps we already were carrying those burdens before we went into isolation, before we were infected globally by an unknown illness. Perhaps you are carrying a burden that you would prefer you weren't. Perhaps you're facing a difficulty that you'd rather not be. From time to time, we will go through things that are incredibly difficult. Through this sermon series, we're going to look at the classic hymns of the church, the classic hymns of our Christian heritage. And I hope this particular song today will go some ways to reawakening a desire in your heart for a passionate and active prayer life. Perhaps it will go some ways to giving you a new understanding of how to serve God in the way that He has called you to do, or how to do God's will in the face of adversity, which for those of us who are used to being out and doing things in God's name, at this time can be finding that incredibly difficult. But in prayer, we can allow God to teach our hearts a new way. As we look at this song today, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, there is a line in that song that I think we overlook a lot. So the song begins, What a friend we have in Jesus, all our griefs and sins to bear. And then it goes on to say, what a privilege it is to carry all to God in prayer. Everything. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. How often do we indulge in the privilege? And how often do we decide not to? It's our privilege to give God everything in prayer, and I am brave enough to say it is our stubbornness that more often than not stops us from giving everything to God in prayer. I think we travel down the road of I'm tough, I can tough it out, I can do this, far too often and for far too long. Why don't we give everything to God in prayer? There is a lot of the time where we just think we don't deserve such a privilege. But that's not our call to make. That call solely sits in the gracious hands of God our Father. There are many who think that prayer just doesn't work. Or at least prayer is a chore and ineffective. So many people have a misconception about what prayer accomplishes and what it actually is. Unfortunately, many people also believe prayer is very complicated. Growing up in church, I had an elderly lady who was my friend. We met when I was 3. I don't know how old she was at the time, but she was the Home League secretary. And so I started to go to Home League when I was 3. And she introduced me to mint slice biscuits. And of course, I still eat mint slice biscuits. This lady was the woman in church who taught me that prayer was simple. And she prayed the sweetest prayers I've ever heard in my life. She would give her testimony every week to the point that my friends and I could recite her testimony word for word. She believed in the power of Christ to change a life. And she prayed fervently for her church and for her children and for her community. Prayer is not complicated, and this lady taught me so. However, that isn't everyone's experience. Perhaps you've been given some prayer advice along the way, such as you need to pray early in the morning, that's the only time, or you need to pray for a whole hour at once. Maybe you've been told that you need to pray in a closet. There are many misconceptions out there about prayer, which lead people to think that they cannot pray and therefore they don't pray. How many of us have been in a service or in a small group or Bible study and there's that one person who is an outstanding prayer? So good, in fact, that it's intimidating. It can lead you to think that your prayers are not worthy. Of course, this is untrue. God hears all prayers, right from well-rehearsed and experienced to the little child learning to say grace. Each prayer is precious to his ears and his heart. Then there are those who will declare that prayer is boring. If you're finding prayer boring, then look into it. There are so many ways to pray, so many avenues, so many creative expressions. Prayer doesn't have to be boring. There's a misconception that prayer doesn't work. We can get caught up very quickly in this kind of thinking. Things like, if it works, why is my family member not healed? If prayer works, why is the marriage still struggling? Last week I prayed for a friend's dad who is in palliative care in hospital. I got a message during the week that he has recovered to the point that he can return home soon. That doesn't always work that way. We need to accept God's plan. Perhaps when we're thinking about prayer as not working, we are asking God, where are you? Did I do something wrong? Do you not care? Are you not listening? Maybe you've even asked God himself if prayer is a waste of time. So many of us have misunderstandings about prayer and what it does. We need to understand and embrace the truth that we are not praying to a distant, uninvolved, hard-to-please God, but we are actually praying to a loving, caring, and personal God that calls us friend. In fact, this is what Jesus said about his relationship with his disciples in John 15, verse 15. He said, "I never called you servants because a master does not confide in his servants." Imagine that for a moment. The great I am, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords calls us his friend. What a friend we have in a relational God who loves us, gives us access to come before his very throne of grace, to find help in our time of need, to find comfort in our time of sorrow. I see God and the throne as a place to also talk of the joys of the day, to express yourself. You may never hear God actually laugh along with you, but as we look around, we know God has a sense of humor. And if it's funny to you, it's probably funny to him. The story behind our hymn today is incredible. It was written by a man named Joseph Scriven. Joseph lived in the 1800s in Ireland, where he fell in love with his childhood sweetheart and they planned to marry. On the day before they were to marry, they decided to ride out to see each other. On the journey, however, her horse bucked her off. Falling to the ground, she hit her head on a rock and unfortunately rolled into the river and was drowned. In his grief, Joseph decided he would move to Canada, where he took up a vow of poverty, working for people who he knew couldn't pay him, could never afford to pay for such work. During that time, he met another woman and fell in love. Her name was Eliza. At the age of 23, Eliza developed pneumonia, and just weeks before they were to marry, she died. Years went by, and he received a word that his mother was dying back in Ireland. Not having the money to return home, he penned her a poem and sent it. That poem is the very song we're still singing today. The lyrics seem all the more powerful when you know the life and the story behind it. In this song, he asks the question, can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrow share? This man had seen plenty of sorrow, and now his mother was dying. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Taking things to God in prayer is as simple as talking to a friend. You may start your day with God by short, sharp prayers, such as, thank you for this day, or direct my steps today. Give me wisdom, give me sympathy. There may be moments in life when God is the friend you vent to. The scripture says it like this, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. God understands that things hurt us and make us mad and disappoint us. We may even at times feel mad at God if he feels distant. But as parents do, when we come to God with our hurt and disappointment, he draws us close. Billy Graham said, prayer is a two-way conversation between you and God. It's not just talking, but it's listening. God speaks in so many, many ways. His methods of communication would be unlimited. It is only us who limit those options of communication between us and God. Opening up your Bible every single day will make you realize how alive it is. It will make you realize that God speaks to you through his word. What you read yesterday, you could read the same thing every day of the week, and it will mean something completely new for what God is trying to tell you that day. God will speak to you through your circumstances, through his word, through his grace and love. One of the things I've realized about prayer is that it doesn't always change the circumstances. It may not, but it doesn't always. The thing about prayer that is true is that prayer changes you. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. This morning, as you think about those words, as you think about a new start with God in the communication realm, as you think about the songs we've sung this morning, I ask that as we go to our next song, spend some time in reflection and ask God to help you start a new prayer life, a new prayer walk, an active way of being involved with Him.